everyone. Here we are unveiling the untold stories of talent branding with some of the top leaders in the industry. I'm Abhishek.
And I'm Priyanka.
Welcome to Unveiling Talent Branding Stories podcast.
So for today's episode, we have Sarang Brahme with us, who's the head of employer branding at ShareChat. He has been in the industry for more than 13 plus years, and he has been named top 50 social media HR influencer in the ranking report of 2022 by SHRM India, and top 50 HR influencers on Twitter, you know, in the year 2022 by Bloggers Alliance. And he runs his very own podcast, Humans Behind HR. Welcome to our podcast, Sarang. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much, Priyanka and Abhishek. Glad to be here.
So, how are you doing, Sarang? It's finally great to connect with you.
Yeah, it's all good. Yes, it's finally great to be here. Yeah.
So, you know, like, from accidentally starting your career in SEO and digital marketing, and over the time you and your journey evolving from social recruiting to talent branding, and now you have expanded your horizons to employee engagement as well. So it's a very interesting journey. So can you walk us through the journey and the transition?
Yeah, happy to. So yeah, I mean, it's been a very interesting journey. I'm not a trained HR or recruitment professional. I, as you said, accidentally came into this industry in a recruitment process outsourcing company in 2004, where I learned the arts and science of recruitment, mostly in sourcing part of it, where we used to hire people in UK, US, by finding those hidden talent through some really nerdy Google X-ray search kind of stuff. Which was unconventional methods of hiring people. And then I did that for 5 years. It was a startup company, and I was a client success manager before the company was shut down in 2009 because of the financial debacle and all of that happened, right? So, and then I joined Capgemini, and because few of my friends joined there. And I started as a sourcer, as a hiring, as a executive hiring recruiter, where I started hiring people in directors, vice presidents. So it's a niche team that we built over there. And after that, I think somewhere in 2012 or 13, where social media started to come up as a alternate channel for recruitment, I went to my boss and said, hey, I want to do something in this area to find different channels beyond just job portals to hire people. Like LinkedIn was coming that time, and Twitter and Facebook and all of that, right? And he was kind enough to give me that role where I started to evangelize social media recruitment, how we use LinkedIn, how we start to use Google and some of the other social media, a bunch of other social media websites that time, started to train recruiters, get them to move from, fishing in a pond to, fishing in sea, and expand the horizons beyond conventional methods. And that's where I championed LinkedIn. I was one of the first LinkedIn certified recruiters in Capgemini. And then I slowly realized that it's not just about sourcing, while it's an important part, but it's also about using the social media for building awareness, for building brand, for building really a reputation as an employer. And that's where we started to work with marketing teams to share, what Capgemini really stands for, what all things that we do, showcasing our culture, our life at Capgemini, people, all of that, everything that we used to do internally, how do we build a transparent culture, showcase that to external talent, and make sure that Capgemini is seen as a place to work for the talent that we wanted to work. So then I did that for India a few years, and then I shifted to the global team because we also wanted to do that for countries beyond India. So I worked there for around 6 years. And my last role in Capgemini, I also over and above employer branding, I looked at a bunch of other things like how do we improve experience of candidates? How do we engage our internal employees, really listen to what they are saying and use that as part of our employer branding strategy? What are the things that they are liking about us, where we can improve their experience and really build the brand as a authentic brand rather than just saying goody goody and nice things about Capgemini, right? And ensure that we stand out in the market in a way. It's been just a month since I've joined ShareChat. I like the their vision of standing out in the market. They have an amazing story. I think one of the best kept secrets in the product tech industry. So I'm really hopeful with amazing people and leaders. I should be able to share that story and kind of position ShareChat as a place to be for the tech talent. So yeah, that's how I'm here.
Yeah, I think you've done a really fabulous job at Capgemini, and I really love how Capgemini portrays its culture. And yeah, I think the folks who work there itself tell a lot about how Capgemini is. And I think, yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, a big kudos to the team, people. I mean, it was always a team effort of HR, recruitment, marketing, business. I think we all were driven by, and inspired by the culture and people that we had. So I mean, branding just tells the story. It doesn't create the story. Story is already there. It's just that it needs to be communicated, marketed in a way. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And also, there are a lot to see in ShareChat as well. Yeah, pretty much looking forward.
So, let's say a company like ours wants to, start building a talent brand and start, focusing mainly on the talent branding. So what do you think are the key things they should, focus on and prioritize and start implementing?
Yeah, I think for startups, it's a little bit different, right? Because you're still building inside out. You're still building the culture. I mean, depends on how big startup is. Is it like a just 20, 30 people startup versus, let's just say 300, 400. I think till the time, let's say you're 300, 400, the story is kind of there. You have the right people, you got the right vision, mission, and really your founders are today in a better position to tell that story versus, let's say you're just started, barely, because then all of your focus is on building rather than telling the story. But when you become, let's say 300, 400, again, it varies, right? That you then want to ensure that the story is translated externally. So I think first is be very clear on what is your pitch, what is your story, what is your vision, mission, how are you differentiated in the market, number one. I think it starts from there. What do you want to communicate? Are we just another company who wants to become unicorn, or is there really something that will draw people to your company? One, there is inspirational part of it, and secondly, more importantly, there is an authentic part of it, which is, okay, we want to do this, but we are already doing this, and we have an amazing culture, we have amazing people, we are already doing some groundbreaking or path breaking stuff in whatever is a tech or not, whatever area that you are. And that is already drawing some amazing people that you already got. Then how do they join? What are some of the problem statements your company is solving? And I think when you are a small startup, your business branding and employer branding kind of goes hand in hand, because you're trying to tell the same story to market, customers, investors, and you're trying to tell a similar story to candidates and your employees as well, right? And that needs to be aligned. Obviously, what draws candidates and employees is a little different from your customers, but it's the same side, two sides of the same coin in a way, right? So I think having the right story and your founders and leaders talking about it is very important, number one. Secondly, a strong listening capability in terms of what is your internal culture. Big startups, great companies doesn't always necessarily mean great culture, right? So you have to really spell that out, listen to your employees, whether it's on blind, glass door, what's actually going on inside the companies. You're saying I'm a best, great place to work, but does your employees believe in that? I think one of the mistakes that a lot of companies do is they think that employer branding is outside in, where you share amazing story externally and it will create a brand. No, that doesn't happen. It happens inside out. If you really have a good culture, good company, good experiences, then that will translate out externally. So listen to your employees, find out the stories, find out where, you know, what kind of impact your employees are creating internally or externally, and how does that align to the values of the company? You know, what kind of values, set of values that you have? What are the behaviors? Because at the end of the cultures are about value, right? I mean, these are the values that you want to embrace. So how do you do that? Then start to find out, okay, what are the communication channels? So stories, you know, what is your value proposition? What are employees actually experiencing? Is it authentic? And then you start to engage external. Then there are obviously a bunch of communication tools and channels and messaging that you can do externally. And then you measure it and improve it and all of it, right? But step one and two that I mentioned are, I think, far more important in the initial stages. Once your company becomes big, then I think you focus more on the communication channels and making sure you're there everywhere. But you can't do that unless you know what to tell and whom to tell and why they should listen to you. Once that is established, then I think a lot of things go north from that time.
I think these are some great steps for someone who's just starting out and how they should go about talent branding. I think they're great steps. Yeah.
100%. So I want to add on something. So here, see, my next question is my personal favorite question. So this is something I ask most of the people. And so in your experience, what are the common mistakes companies make when it comes to talent branding?
Yeah, I think I spoke one about the authenticity. A lot of companies might think that a good employer branding team will fix their bad cultural problems, which will not happen. I mean, if you employ employer branding or the tools, it will only magnify the good stuff or bad stuff. I mean, unless your product is really there and you are really delivering a value, it's employer branding is not going to solve a problem, or it's not gonna look your company look good. Maybe that was how it was done a few years back, when, let's say, social media wasn't there, right? I mean, you would all see all the happy faces on the career website. Yeah, everyone is enjoying in the company and amazing videos that they would put. But now with the Glassdoor and with so many other channels, your culture is not hidden. Your employer brand is not hidden, or it is not fabricated. It just cannot be fabricated. People will eventually, when they want to join a company, would go and figure out that what others are saying about your brand. I mean, I firmly believe that talent brand is a very important part of employer branding. I mean, employer branding is all about what you say about your company. But talent brand is when your employees say whether they are really liking the company or not, right? I mean, that is really the true voice that today matter when someone joins. So again, you know, it's not going to fix your problem if they are inside. Secondly, it is not 2 minutes Maggie. I mean, okay, I can't hire people, so let me find an employer branding team, and just like that, from tomorrow, people will queue outside of my office. You know, that's not going to happen. Employer branding take a lot of time, efforts, and patience to build. It because it needs to grow organically. If it's an inorganic brand, it will fall out the time that you pull out that inorganic plug, and it will not sustain the organic thing, right? So it needs to be created. And third is, even if it's an employer brand, it needs to be created through your talent or through your employees or through candidate experiences. Not every piece of employer brand is about we have amazing offices and perks. It's not always about we have X billion dollar revenues. It's not always about we have X million, whatever, X thousand people in company, right? I mean, that in today's market, and the context has changed, the whole, whether you call it great resignation, great realization, whatever fancy name that you want to give, people today have choices. People today have more opportunities than ever before. So they will always interview. They're also figuring out in their mind that if this is a right company for me to join, what kind of work-life balance they have, what kind of opportunities that they have. So again, it needs to be authentic. It needs to be driven by your people. And I think lastly, I would say it is not, a lot of people think it's a very expensive mechanism, right? I don't have budget. I mean, one of the common excuses, I don't have budget. I mean, you don't, really don't need budget to start employer branding. If your employee is having a good experience, it doesn't cost you a dime to get him to write a testimonial about your company. He or she will do it if they believe, if there is a sense of connection, if there is a sense of, yes, this company is doing something for me. So, there are a lot of ways to get that content. So again, to begin with, you don't need a big budget or, like 5 members team. Even I've seen a lot of recruitment teams are doing it as part of parcel of what they're doing. But yes, I would say that at some point of time, you will have to employ, I think you should employ an expert to do this. So, and obviously till that time, you're also figuring out what does employer branding mean to your company. Is it just about recruitment? I need to hire more people. I need to build a reputation out in the market. I need to make more people aware about what we are. Whatever your problem statement is, then you start to build your team, get the ROI, get the KPIs measured and all of it, right? But again, it's not a expensive thing. And lastly, I would say a lot of people get into a debate ki ye marketing ka job hai ya HR hai ya recruitment hai, who should own employer branding? I say it really doesn't matter who owns it. It's a partnership game. Your business leadership need to have 100% buy-in. If they are not bought in, it's not going to work. Whether it's it in marketing, HR, or recruitment, unless you got very clear common objectives, I think it can definitely work. Whom does it report to is really a secondary thing. So, yeah, I mean, these are the few things I think maybe, people can improve or look at it a bit differently than maybe the conventional ways of doing things.
I think previously, like maybe a few years ago, or talent or the candidates, they would think twice before they actually quit a role. But I think nowadays, they quit more often if they don't find their company, compatible, if their culture is not good, or if they're not having the growth which they expected. So I think companies, so when they're hiring, I think they should talk about, be honest about their culture and how, talk all about how the candidate will have, a lot of growth in their company and make a roadmap so that they can understand better. And I think there will be less vacancies in the company as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because today people have looked at career very differently than in past, where okay, you get in the company and work there for 10, 15, 20 years, it has actually become more important to have a good employer brand, because a good employer brand will also attract your alumni. I mean, there have been so many times that people have started second or third stint with the same company, because you are not working in a linear environment. You are, changing a lot of stuff, going to different companies, bringing more, like an all-round view. Then I think it's also important for company to look at, everyone as a target audience, candidates, employees, and also at some point of time, alumni, so that one, they can also come back. They feel that it's a company that I can work with while I can go and try something else. And secondly, they can, if they have a good view of your brand, then they would also obviously give referral and put good word of mouth in the market.
I think in recent days, I think there has been a lot of hype about, EVP, employee value proposition. And so according to you, like how can small to medium enterprises build a very strong employee value proposition?
So, obviously, I mean, employee value proposition in a very simple sense, without cluttering it too much with a scientific meaning, it's really a positioning of any company which they put outside and inside about why someone should join and stay in their company. So it is really a reason or a list of reasons, or basically what is your promise as an employer to employees and candidates. If they offer you their employment, What is something that you will give them back as a comp as an employer value? And what is the value that you will add to them and you know, and when they employ it? So I think it's important to have it. Now, in some companies, they wouldn't go at this like a full-fledged process. They're very clear in their minds that, okay, this is how we want to position. And maybe in the very early days of startup, where obviously you don't have too much of experience under your belt and too many employees, blah, 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 you can, you know, even your company values at some point of time can become employer value proposition. However, when the company starts to grow, then it's not merely you know, important to dictate what values, if we also need to understand if they resonate with employees, that maybe are there any other things that we are not doing consciously which we should. So maybe at a medium to large scale, I think employer branding, sorry, employer value proposition and clearly laying out is very important. And how you do that is first listen to your employees. What do they feel about your company? It's not just about what we want them to know about us, but you might want, I mean, a company might say that, okay, we have amazing learning and development infrastructure, but does that really resonate with your employees? Do they find it valuable, or is it just another perk that you're giving which they may or may not be you know, comfortable? Secondly, maybe there are some really good stories out there or some values that they really love about your company, which you may not have thought about, because again, as you grow organically, inorganically, the culture also kind of grows. So maybe there are, you know, some good things that already happening which you may want to capture, right? So really listening to your employees, listening to your candidates, and thirdly, listening to the market. I think why market listening is important is because then you need to know key my employee value proposition or these set of values or set of reasons that I'm laying out, are they competitive in the market? Are they do people outside this company value them? If I put it out there in the market, will it attract right set of people? Do I know who's my target audience? Your employee value proposition cannot be in general, like, okay, I want to attract every professional in the market. No, so I think you need to be very authentic, very selective about kind of talent that you want to work for, because talent is doing the same. It's a whether it's a cultural match, cultural fitment, whatever that you call, whether it's you know, your priorities about diversity and inclusion, whether your priorities around you know, CSR, whether your priorities around growing it. Now, again, some companies would say that we want to grow fanatically fast. For some companies, it is an organic growth, right? So again, there's no right and wrong answer here. It's really about finding the right people at the right time of the startup or a company at the right age, right? I mean, maybe, and that's why you might see a lot of people who started with the company in the early stages may or may not be till the end of, or even I can't say end, but you know, latter part of the journey. Because as the company grows, your ambitions are different. You know, sometimes the values, I mean, some even values say the same, but the culture kind of slowly changes, right? So you need to capture that in the employee value proposition. Again, you know, make it authentic with employees. Ensure that the candidates see that in the recruitment process and the market believes it in it. And then you're reaching to the right people so that at the end of day, people, you are able to attract the right people. And if they are the right people, they should be able to stay with you for at least some time. I mean, they shouldn't, I mean, if there's an early attrition, then there's some issue with your EVP as well, because then people who come inside your company don't believe that whatever that you would have put it externally is actually true. Then that becomes a marketing gimmick or a just advertising statement. So yeah, I mean, that's I think why EVP is really important.
Yeah, so I think before a company, you know, like works on EVP, I think they should sit down with their employees or maybe conduct a survey on interact with employees and maybe, you know, figure out like what works for them and what doesn't. And then post that, like they should also analyze the market and, you know, make a strong EVP. And also maybe they should make only the promises which they can keep and not, they should not think about what they should portray to get the best talent. They should probably think about, you know, what works for their organization and just represent you know, however their organization is. So that would be, you know, good for both the employees as well as the organization, I think.
I remember you mentioning employer branding is the inside-out approach rather than the outside-in approach in one of your podcasts. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I think, number one, the company is made inside-out, right? I mean, so first thing, I think employer brand, employee value proposition are intrinsically related to your culture, your people, and your business. Now, it's basically a true reflection of who you are, what are the kind of things that you believe in as a company, as a culture, as an organization, and where do you want to go, and whether then that story resonates externally with candidates, to which sort of audience, and do you want to target them and attract them is another story, right? But I think it all boils down to employee experiences, and today, I think more often than not, we talk about employee experience, right? If we took any example, I mean, leave employer branding, but even in a corporate branding, I mean, there are so many people who love Apple because it's the kind of feeling, is the kind of experience, the design that they really love for, right? I mean, the brand is made by people. It's not just about, I mean, when you still hear Steve Jobs talking about his, you know, unveiling iPhone, you know, in that video, you still get goosebumps that, oh, I mean, that for those people, seeing that first time was an amazing experience. And no one would have imagined that his product is going to give you that kind of experience. Now, it's very similar inside, right, for employees as well. I mean, as an employee, if you're having good experience, that company is providing the right opportunity, learning and growth, business opportunity, you know, whatever be the case, then your perception about the company is obviously goes up. And then you talk about it internally and externally. Lot of people, I mean, if you think about brand, lot of people would, if they talk about on Twitter, right, they will go and say, oh, this brand experience wasn't good. They will tag companies saying, I have bad experience with you, blah, blah, blah. Now, that happens, and a lot of time that gets exaggerated because there are no forums where we nudge them to provide good experiences. I totally believe that a company provides more good experiences than bad experiences because they are not designed to build giving bad experiences, right? I mean, they are here to provide good experiences, whether it's customers or employees. But then, do you provide enough outlet to your employees to share those good experiences? And are you really building those consciously inside your company? Do your leadership believes in it? Just to give you one example, you know, when the leadership looks at the business goals or the business performance, do they also review employee experience there? What kind of experience our employees are? Because all of us, I mean, it's a known thing, right? Right employees, right employee experiences will give you right customer experiences. So if you want to measure customer experiences, are you measuring employee experiences as well? Because these two are very interrelated. Then, do your leadership provides a good vision, mission, a roadmap? Are they transparent about what kind of roadmap that they have? Are they open to employees about the challenges that they are seeing? Are they building enough trust inside the company so that they talk good things about company? I mean, there are great brands, again, like Tata. And you might have seen the example where there was a walk-in conducted by Air India, and you know, people flocked to that, and they had these mass leaves that happened. But again, you know, well, whatever it been there, there is an impact of a brand that would have played there, because people do believe Tata brand now that Air India is a Tata brand. So, right. So, and how they have built it is by building the trust, by building transparency, by creating that internal connect, the sense of belief, the, again, all the diversity, inclusion, again, whatever ingredients of that culture, if they are good, then obviously people who will talk about it internally or externally will resonate with it. And then are you providing them, outlets, as I said, you know, people, typically going on Glassdoor, they might go when they are disgruntled or they are not happy about the company. But when they are, when as a company, you know that you are providing amazing experiences, do you nudge them to go to Glassdoor? Like, you know what an Uber driver does, sir, 5-star rating. They know. Why don't you do that internally as well? When you have an amazing program of learning and development or a DI program, you can just ask, you know, hope you had a great experience. Why don't you give you a review? Now, all of that comes internally, right? It doesn't come externally. Externally is more about people building the image or perception, but that has been built by the internal experiences that people are having. And that's why I say it's an inside out approach and not outside in. You can't publicly say that we are a great company. Okay, now that we have claimed that we are a great company, let's work backwards to build a great company. No, it doesn't happen that way. You intrinsically have to be a good company before you go out and say we are a great company, right? And sometimes you also need to understand, accept, and embrace the, I wouldn't say flaws, but the imperfections of your brand. No brand is perfect. And that's where, you know, and again, it's a great example by Netflix. If you have read Netflix, you know, their brand philosophy, it's not perfect. It's not going to be, it's a controversial brand philosophy, right? In fact, they, or the cultural deck that they have, where they openly says that people, you know, who are average performance will get a great severance package. That means it's a performance culture that they want to build in because they believe they want to have a talent dense environment. So again, there's no right or wrong in this. They believe that it is a culture that works for them, and then they want to attract people who align with that philosophy. It's the same thing with every other company. A lot of times, the employee value propositions that you see by companies, they're very identical. Everyone talks about how great we are, our culture is great, our people is great, we are people first company, blah, 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 right? But then there's no differentiator. Then why someone would join your company versus others, right? And that's why you have to embrace your internal culture, people, leadership elements to position that as a brand which would be authentic and which would be attractive for your target audience and differentiative and something that your people believe. And that's why all I will say is, your people don't believe your employer brand, then that brand is very shallow. And that's why it has to start inside out.
So I wanted to ask you about company culture. So identifying, we all know that identifying our company culture is key. And we know that internal branding is, you know, centered on connecting the employees with their brand vision. And a strong talent brand plays a very major role in all of this. So can you tell us the importance of, you know, internal branding and where they should start and how can companies effectively implement internal branding?
Okay, so I wouldn't say it's internal branding. You know, the brand will automatically be built. But what is really more important is the internal connect or internal communication. So internal communication today is really good tool to build that brand. And that brand will be built over the period of time. I think employee engagement is a very key aspect of it. If your employees are engaged, they're the ones who believe that what company says is exactly what they do. They believe that they trust the company. They believe that the company has rolled out initiatives and programs which help them to grow into their career. In a lot of cases today, because people are so open about what's happening around in the society. I mean, sometimes whether company takes even social stands about social issues. I'm sure you would have seen what happened in US for Black Lives Matter or the recent cases that has happened, right? And a lot of brands have come forward and say, hey, we support this. I think that's also important, whether companies feel the sense of responsibility towards society and whether they feel that they are part of this social structure where they owe something to the society. So I think that plays a big role. And whether also employees feel that they are being not just listened to, but they are being acted upon. Their feedback is taken care and they are being acted upon. Recently, I would say in last 2 years, because of what happened with pandemic, the whole conversation around health and wellness has become center of the conversation. Whether companies really take care of their employees, they provide the right support. And again, you don't do this to build a brand, where building a brand is a byproduct of it. And if companies are only doing this to build a brand, then it's not an authentic way. I mean, brand will be built if you are doing the good things, right? So if they are being taken care of, if they are being provided the right set of tools to grow, if they are being listened to, if they get a good roadmap, and even then, eventually, if some of them leave the company, they will still say good things about the company even after going out, right? So all these internal communications, internal engagement channels help to build that trust, help to build that connection with employees. And employees feel that this is a company where if I give my 100%, I will get back 100%. So to build that level of trust and connection is very important. Also, for a lot of people, it's not company, right? I mean, company is this invisible management structure. But what about managers? So what is the role that manager plays in whole of this conversation? Whether they provide empathetic environment, whether they are micro versus macro managers, what kind of support that they provide versus pressure that they put. So all of these small things, little things kind of grow to build a brand. And for everyone, it's not the same thing. I mean, if you are a woman professional with a kid at home, then for you, what is more important will be very different than a college graduate joining your company. So you can't have a blanket statement saying we are great because we do 1, 2, 3. Each of the persona or the employee within the organization will have different needs, different aspirations, and you need to have, that level of trust and support or the offering to provide the right environment for all of them. And that's where things like design thinking plays such an important role, where you build the personas, put yourself in the employee shoes, understand what experience means for him or her in different stages. And it's not just about one part, right? Okay, I have amazing learning and development organization, and we invest X million dollars into it, which is great. But that's just one part of the puzzle. There are so many other things that happens, right? And are you giving equal importance to all of it? It happens that over the period of time, people build a connection, people build the view of the brand. And then at some point of time, they become brand ambassadors, go out and tell that, okay, XYZ is a good company, why don't you join it? And then that reflects into your recruitment, employee referral, external awards, blah, blah, blah. So it takes time to reach there. And the point here is that you should not just, I mean, the idea shouldn't be, I will be ranked number one in the market. The idea is, I will be amazing employer and providing great things to my employees so that they are content, their experience is amazing, and they are happy. Then over the period of time, it will automatically, if you do the right communication, the right branding, all the right tools, it will automatically build that external brand. But the idea shouldn't be just to build a brand. Is to be a great employer and then become a great employer brand. It doesn't happen the other way around. You become a great employer brand and then become a good employer. No, then it's a, it's basically a marketing gimmick. So that's why I think focusing internal is such an important thing, even if you want to recruit great people. Sometimes we also, you don't differentiate between employer branding and recruitment marketing. A lot of people talk about two things in the same way, that I will do employer branding to hire great people. That's great. But in this case, you use employer brand in recruitment marketing to get candidates. But employer branding essentially is building the perception and the brand. Whether you use that for internal retention or attraction, then that's the same brand that you use internally and externally for communication, for engagement, right? So that's why I think it starts with internal, with your employees, and then kind of goes out to become a brand like what others feel.
Ultimately, a great internal connection is also key to build a brand, right?
Yes, connections, culture, and then the brand essentially is how do you communicate that externally. Then you use set of marketing tools to do that, whether it's an employee advocacy, whether you use social media channels, whether you create videos, you know, whatever shape and form of the brand that you do to communicate the brand. But all of that content is coming from your internal employees at the end of it.
Following up on what we discussed, in this whole process, how can they be more consistent? Because starting something is very easy, but being consistent in that is a real task. So do you have any suggestion on this?
Yeah, I agree. So as you rightly said, a lot of people start it because they feel it's a new thing. A lot of people jump onto it for the time being. But so let's say, you know, for the last 2 years, there was so much focus on recruitment and talent war. And I think a lot of people have jumped in to do employer branding. But really the litmus test will be going ahead when we are already started to see a bit of a market correction, and the recruitment activities may not be at high level that it were a year back, right? So I think being consistent is very important. Employer branding is not just for recruitment. Whether you are hiring or not, it is important to sustain employer brand because it's a long-term investment. It's an investment into how you are looked at as an employer. And in a lot of cases, when you're not hiring, that employer brand is tested. And when you're not doing aggressive campaigns, and that's where the real cultural elements or people experience elements start to bring, right? Because you're not advertising it that much and you're not hiring it externally. So are you staying consistent to what you initially promised? That, okay, we will provide you X, Y, Z. But when the market is not so hot, are you still doing that? And was it just an eyewash for people to say something and then, okay, we go back to our good old way of doing things, right? I mean, a simple example, how many companies are providing work from home opportunities beyond pandemic? I think that's going to be a interesting thing, right? Where some companies are saying, okay, we are completely remote. Some are saying hybrid. Some are really pushing people to come to offices and go through the same drill of traveling 4 hours every day and all of it, right? So I think, as I said, whatever that you're promising as an employee value proposition or as a value or whatever it is, the reasons to stay or join, are you consistent over the period of time? Number one, are you doing that beyond hiring? Is number two, and are you still engaging, caring about people when there is no great resignation or there's, you know, the activities are not going through the roof? Do you still care about them in the same way that you cared few months or years back? Are you still looking at them like an asset, or you suddenly start to look at them as an Excel sheet and the costs and all of it, right? And are you still talking about your brand in the same way that you were doing? Obviously, the context might be different. It may not be about hiring, but building a great brand is a long-term thing. It doesn't, as I said, it's not a two-minute Maggie that you want to hire and I will build my brand and then let it dissolve it for some time. When the hiring happens again, I will still create another employment brand. That doesn't happen because people will remember the way you treated them in at all times. Those comments on Twitter or Glassdoor will always be there, and people will reflect back to the times when things were not good. For a lot of people, it's not about when things were great. I mean, obviously, when things were great, companies are shelling out BMW, Dubai trips, and all of that, right? But when things were not great, do they still care about you? I think that's a test. That's really the test of your employer brand. And if that is not consistent, people will not trust you. And then over the period of time, it will impact the attrition. It will impact the retention. It will impact the recruitment piece as well. Because they will, go back and say, okay, last time when this happened, you guys did this. Right, and now that you are hiring, okay, you are suddenly promising moons and stars, right? That's not how it happens. So having consistent in not just communication, I think obviously it's communication, but also the way you treat employees, candidates, right? I mean, when you are hiring in bulk, your candidate experience was amazing. You were really focusing on how the interviews were done, how the hiring was done. But when it's not so much about hiring, suddenly the candidates are not getting calls from recruiters, and not they're not being communicated what's happening with their application. Suddenly, you started seeing a lot of ghosting from companies and all of that, right? So that means you're not consistent about what you really stand for. And same happens with employees. They suddenly feel disconnect. They suddenly feel they don't they're not being taken care of. Suddenly, all of that kind of goes down the drain. So I think that's why it's important for consistency, because then your employer brand, if it stands the test of time, then when the situation is right, you reap the benefits. But it is not something that is constructed, deconstructed, constructed, in like 6 months or 2, depending on the market situation. Yeah, I mean, the content might change. Now suddenly why you are a great brand, that reasons might change, because your business context is changing, the kind of people that you're hiring might be changing, but that reputation needs to remain the same, whatever be the situation. And if that doesn't happen, obviously over the period of time, people's trust will not be there, whether it's employees or candidates. So having that consistency, and that's why employer branding needs to happen consistent, whether you're hiring, as in, what you are saying, employee stories, all the content, that shouldn't come down because, oh, the hiring activity has come down. No, that means you are just doing this as a recruitment tool, and that's what employer branding, that's a narrow-minded employer branding to me. It has to be broad-minded, it has to be long-term. You should think of where my company is going to be in next 2, 3 years, what kind of skill sets, what kind of people that I need to have, and then build your employer brand to that level. It's a long-term thing, not just about, okay, I'll reduce investments and all of that, or I'll suddenly change the tone of my employer brand. So yeah, that's what I feel.
I think consistency is the key, and I think companies should take employee experience more seriously, and they should prioritize it and not just do it in the initial stages after the hire. They should maintain it throughout the entire journey. And yeah. So I read in your LinkedIn bio that you have said that employer brand and employee experiences are two sides of the same coin. So what made you, think that way?
In terms of it's inside out, that's what I want to talk when I say employee experience, employer brand is a side of the same coin. I mean, employee experience is more internal, but how those employee experiences are converted or translated externally is how your employer brand is kind of looked at, right? So if you're providing the right employee experiences, if there's a good trust, again, same thing, right? Trust, internal connect, then I think it will reflect into your employer brand. People will trust, and more importantly, your employees will trust. Today, employee experience is like a currency, is most important thing when it comes to employee engagement or employee growth, right? It's not just about giving a salary and okay, just do your work, go do 9 to 5 and all of that. There are so many nuances to employee journey, employee experience. So if you're building those nudge, or those moments that matter inside the those employee journey points, whether you are onboarding, whether you are learning, whether you are in performance management, whether it's about growth path, promotion, whatever cycle of employee experience or employee journey you are, if they are having the right experience, then that will automatically convert into a good employer brand. Because again, what is brand, right? Brand is a perception or an image about a company that anyone has in their minds, and they talk about it openly when no one is in the room, right? So it has to be authentic. So I think that's what I meant, that employee experience and employer brand are like sides of the same coin. If an employee experience is not correct, then your employer brand will suffer out of it. And if your employer brand is not correct, but if your employee experience is right, that means you need to invest on your brand to make it authentic and aligned to employee experience. So ideally, they should be aligned. Just to give you a simple example, if your company is doing internal pulse kind of a surveys, is how they are talking about your company internally and how they talk about your company externally, let's say on Glassdoor, are these two the same things? Or are they two different sides of a same company, right? Maybe they are saying not so great things internally or vice versa. Then that means there needs to be some better communication, better branding, better alignment. Or is it other way around, when the company is not doing great, but then people are saying good things about it, that means there is a bit of a malfunctioning there. That means these brand perceptions are not authentic and they are just marketing gimmicks, right? So even both ways, they need to be aligned in a way. So, if they're not, then there's some work that need to be done to rectify it or to make it align.
Following up on what we discussed about company culture, I believe that maintaining the culture is increasingly difficult as the company grows. Because I think it's good company culture is a key for everything. But nowadays, most of the people consider company culture to be a major factor before joining. So how can they maintain their culture even if they are in a growth phase? So what's your insight on that?
This all culture behavior starts all with the leadership. I think if they are number one, when they hire people, do they think about culture? Yes or no? I think that's the first thing. Secondly, when the company is growing, do they make culture a visible element of day-to-day operations, or is it just like a hanging on the wall where they will only talk about culture when someone asks, or do they exhibit that behavior through the actions every day? Again, every company talks about DEI, but do they set right examples internally? Do they set right role models internally? And whether you're able to do that even in a hyper-growth environment, I think that's a key question. Because then in the hyper-growth time, all of these things sometimes take a backseat versus, okay, I need to spend more time and actually make the business grow or to deliver the set of things, right? So then this is where leadership would need to come in and say, hey, we need to balance it out. While we are growing, which is great, but you can't grow without keeping culture and people in the front and center. Because if that happens, then it is not sustainable in the long term. So right from the hiring to engagement, with the leadership communication, what your CEO or founder says, what your business unit leader says and do, and what kind of a cultural barometers that they set, or is it like, okay, now things are acceptable in the new way of doing things just because we have to grow, so sometimes you've seen some companies build, that toxicity kind of coming in into the culture just because there is so much of pressure to grow and so much of pressure to deliver. So I think, building those boundaries while we are growing and making, making those value proposition at the heart and center, even in that growth, is very important. Even if that means that few things are being let go. But in the grand scheme of things, sometimes it's really important to make sure that we grow with the right intent by keeping the culture. And again, culture is also not a very static thing. It changes. The context is changing. You also get a lot of people who are coming from different cultures. So there's also cultural diversity that build in. But then there are some values that you don't want to compromise on, some behaviors that you do not want to compromise on. And that is the level of tenacity that leadership need to build in, or what is really tolerable in the culture today, or is it everything is up for discussion? You know, so I think that is very important. And then you hire the people who believe in that that kind of a culture, or believe in those kind of behaviors, either even at the leadership level or even at the normal level. So I think keeping that balance, and it is easier said than done, is very important for any company to sustain that growth over the period of time.
Yeah, I think you've greatly put the whole perspective. And before we wrap up our conversation, so I just want to say that I think it's amazing that you've been in the industry for more than 13 plus years. And so I want to know, how was your entire experience? And could you share with us, like, any lessons you've learned, you know, in your journey so far? Or has there been any situation or, you know, any challenges which you've faced that changed the, you know, the whole, the way you have approached talent branding, which changed your entire perspective and how you approach talent branding? So what
yeah.
you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, in employer branding, my experience has been great. I think I've been fortunate enough to work with companies like Capgemini and ShareChat now, who's always supported and believed in this, believed in having an employee first kind of a culture. So I think number one, to land in these kind of cultures and people, I think is really important to pick and choose the right environment to grow. I think, yeah, there will always be challenges, right? I mean, when I started, initially, I had to do a lot of awareness about what employer branding is and why it is important. Till that, I mean, few years back, this concept was just at a very, very high level, and people didn't have the right examples of, okay, what does employer branding mean? So educating them, educating leadership about what it is, what is the business case about employer branding, making it visible through right example, through small pilots or through small activities to build that trust in leadership that, yes, this is an important thing that we should invest, we should work towards. And a lot of time it doesn't take too much of investment of money, but really having the right role models in front of you and showcasing that story externally. So I think number one is really making your leadership aware that everything that they do is today visible through employer brand, and people are building the opinions, and, you know, to ensure that, you know, we have that level of consciousness in the system that today we are a transparent organization thanks to social media, thanks to our people voices. So, and that helps to become employer brand. Secondly, I would say obviously the challenge is always about budgets and what are the metrics. I think these are very critical things for any HR or marketing or business leads, right? Okay, I'm going to spend X amount of money and time into employer branding. What is you're going to get out of it? What I would say is, again, this is a bit of an education for the business leaders, whether it's a finance, whether it's the whomsoever sponsoring you. It's really about what problem you are solving. There are no, at least to me, there are no static KPIs for employer branding, because it really starts about what is your objective. Is it your objective to build awareness, reputation, or you want to hire more people, or you want to being looked at as a top employer because you also want to retain the right people? So every organization may have a little bit of a unique problem statement, and then your KPIs needs to align to that. You can't show we have hired X number of people through employer branding, but while my problem wasn't hiring, my problem was I was not known to the right set of people as an employer. So the building awareness was might be an issue, or vice versa, right? So you need to really start where the problem statement is and then work backwards, rather than, oh, I'll do 100 different things which are now looked at like an employer brand. Working with marketing is such an important thing. So make sure that whomsoever is in employer branding, please make marketers your best friends, because there's so much to learn from marketing for employer branding. Some of the tools, techniques, because at the end of the day, you're doing the same thing, right? Employer branding is for recruitment is for what marketing is to sales. They are doing the same thing. It's just that their tools, their objective, and the target audience is different. Over here, we are doing it for candidates. They are doing it for customers. But there are so many tools and so many, frameworks that you can borrow from them. And more importantly, you need to work very closely with them, because a lot of time these all of the branding and marketing tools are owned by them. And they need to also understand that marketing is not just for customers today. It is also for the talent market. It's also for, a lot of other things. I mean, in some cases, employer branding also plays a role in mergers and acquisitions. So let's say if a companies want to acquire another company, which happens so much today, right? They do want to acquire a company which has a good reputation in the market. Right, no one want to acquire a badly reputed or who have a very bad employer brand, right? So again, make friends with marketing, learn from them, and also they need to learn from HR, because HR then provides them all the content. The story comes from HR, right? So again, as it sits in whatever part of organization, there needs to be partnership between HR, recruitment, marketing. If that partnership is not there, then there is no way you can build an employer brand, or else it becomes then a very theoretical concept over there, right? And lastly, but not, I mean, the most important I would say is voice of your employees. If you're not able to activate your voice of your employees, if you can't empower them to talk about your company, then howsoever $1 million of campaigns that you run, they will never feel authentic, because your employees don't relate to that. So whatever that you do, please work on the employee advocacy. At the end, people will always cross-check with the existing employees before they join the company. And if that's a last mile check that anyone does, right? Even if you buy a mobile phone, you do that, right? You ask around, have someone use iPhone 11 Max Pro, and how is the experience, right? It's the same thing that happens in recruitment or industry. You will go to people who are current employees and ask them, boss, do you think I should join this company or not? And if your employees are not saying the right things, then all your $1 million campaign investment goes in vain. So please work on your employee voice, employee experience, and also leadership. I think leadership. If your leadership is not with you, they don't understand why you are doing this, or they think this is just another small little thing that we should be doing, and they are not supportive, then again, you're not going to be successful, because that the real reasons about why someone should join, what is a vision, mission, culture, it's set by the leadership. So get all these stakeholders along with you. It's not a one person or one team's job. It's a highly collaborative function today. You have to work with so many different stakeholders, so many different people, all needs to be driven by same value, same inspiration, and same business goal, right? And at some point of time, you have to show the return on investment. But again, I won't dictate any specific metrics now, because that really depends on the problem statement. So yeah, I mean, these are the few things I have learned, some of the mistakes I have made that I can share with you.
Great. I think this is going to help a lot of people who is in the industry to understand what are the things to ignore. And I personally like the relation between employer branding and marketing, and employer branding and HR department. So thanks for the answer.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of our conversation, Saran. And I think we've had a wonderful time chatting with you and knowing about your experiences and your amazing journey. And I feel we have had a great conversation, and it's definitely going to help out and inspire a lot of budding talent branders everywhere. So thank you so much again for joining us today. And we had
no problem. Thank you so much, Priyanka and Abhishek. Had a great time.